Before starting, just want to thank you all for this enjoyable time here with meeting and seeing all the kids. That's the highlight of this church, is just the children that are here. And seeing, I think, the old folks too. There may be a few who would acknowledge that that classification, but you've been encouraging in every way. Thanks much. And always be thinking of you all up here in this very strategic part of the world spiritually. Stay strong. May God help you to do that. I want to talk about the danger that perhaps most threatens good Christians. Now, I'm not talking about the danger that threatens evil people. I'm talking about what most threatens sincere Christians. Now, I'm not going to tell you what it is now. But I think it's going to kind of hope it comes to your mind what it is. First of all, I want to point out that we dedicate our lives to something. There's a few people who just dedicate themselves to what is evil. It used to be I would read Genesis chapter 6, 5 and think, there's nobody that bad. Now, this is a description of the evil world before the flood. The wickedness of mankind was great on the earth, so that every intent of the thoughts of their hearts was only evil continually. You see how that just builds? Every intent of the thoughts of their hearts, only evil. I used to think, even a bad dog has some good time with his master. Every evil person has a little spark of good in them. But I guess, you know, I see some of the producers of pornography, some violent gang members. I'm thinking of a gang right now. They just killed some good people in Mexico. They fled to the States. They're good Christians. They're doing pretty well now in Midland and Odessa, Texas. But how could you kill these children, these good people? They must be only capable of thinking what was evil. And that's what happens when a society hardens itself. But of course, I told you I was going to be talking about what threatens good, sincere people. And of course, that's not what tempts us. We know that we can't give our lives to that type of thing. This one might be a little more dangerous. Sometimes, if we're not careful, we can begin to spend a good portion of our lives on what may not be necessarily sinful, but it's worthless. Just think of outright laziness. Just wanting to sleep all the time. Proverbs has a lot to say about laziness. I like the old King James Version, the sluggard. But most of the old modern versions just don't say sluggard. But the classic passage perhaps is Proverbs 26, 13 through 15. Whenever it says the lazy one, you think sluggard, because that's what the old King James says. A lazy one, the sluggard, says, "There's a lion in the road, a lion in the public square." So he's not going to go out and do any work. There's some danger out there. "As the door turns on its hinges, so does a lazy one on his bed. A lazy one buries his hand in his dish, but he's weary of bringing it to his mouth again." Just too tired. I'm just tired. We're all tired. I'm so tired I can't even eat. I don't know many people that way. But there's probably a little exaggeration there in verse 15. You know, something else is pretty worthless. It can't even be evil. It doesn't have to be evil. But I look at it, and it can maybe be a little bit of recreation, but I think often it's worthless. Excessive video games. I didn't say video games. I said excessive video games. And I'm talking of the innocent one now. But I can say they could be worthless. You know, if you just start looking at the statistics, they can be rather frightening. Now, this one isn't so bad. 76% of all Americans under 18 play video games. Okay. You know, an hour a week or something like that. But 11 to 12% of all boys and 6 to 7% of all girls are addicted to video games. And sometimes things like this can become as addictions. In Hong Kong, it's a long way away, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's about the same here. 13.9% of all male students spent over 20 hours a week playing a video game. 20 hours a week? that's giving your life over to what is really worthless. You're allowing it to go beyond maybe a little recreational activity to something that's dominating you, dominating your life. Ephesians 5, 15 and 16. So then, be careful how you walk, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. And sorry for my error there on the PowerPoint. Okay. Well, most of us are not going to spend our lives on what is evil or what is worthless. We want to give our lives over to things that matter, things that are truly important. I think of our education. The heart of the wise instructs his mouth and adds persuasiveness to his lips. He instructs his mouth, and he's using his mouth wisely. He's educating himself. So that's very important in the Scriptures, to learn about what God has made, the world, the universe he's made. And we can do that if we take time to educate ourselves in schools, but also as adults. Read, know what's going on, what God has done in this world and in this universe. I'm thinking some pictures I've seen on the telescope, the new telescope. Look at them and know who God is and what He has done. And yet, today, so there's less and less emphasis given to educating ourselves. There's a troubling decline in literacy in our country. And you can look at some of the graphs. I've got a few down there at the bottom. The New York Times says U.S. students in most states and across almost all demographic groups have experienced troubling setbacks in math and reading. I think I can tell part of the reason you're trying to indoctrinate them rather than teach them. But it's just a crisis in our culture. A meager 26% of 8th graders were proficient in math, down from 34% in 2019. That's a pretty big drop in just in a few years. And some people say COVID might have had something to do with that. So we need to give ourselves to the educational opportunities that we have. We always tell our children, do your homework. And we need to make sure our kids do it. We need to make sure our kids use the opportunities that God has given them to educate themselves, to learn about what God has done for us and how to live in this world. We give ourselves over to our work and to our employment. At least most of us do that. The Bible teaches the importance of it. The book of Proverbs again. In the New Testament, I think of Ephesians chapter 4, 28. The one who steals must no longer steal, but rather he must labor producing with his hands what is good. And if you go on reading, that's not so he'll be a rich fat cat, but so that he'll have to give to other people that have needs. It's important to learn to work. Young people, learn a trade. Think now of something you can do later in your life to earn your daily bread. Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord and not for people. I heard some stories about loafers on the job. I've seen loafers on the job. I won't give you an example. I worked for a brick. Well, I'll give you one quickly. A bricklayer when I was a young man. Now I remember working at a site, and these guys were in slow motion, and another team just drag one thing over, drag something else over, And all of a sudden, I looked. We were working on the bricks. They were working on the sheetrock or something. And all of a sudden, I saw diligence working there. They're just going there. And I, what? Oh, there was the boss's truck that just pulled in. That's not the kind of thing that God wants from us. He wants us to work as for the Lord and not for people. Almost everybody out there can finish this off in the world. This is, if anyone would not work, neither let him, and everybody knows, eat. That's just a principle that God gives. And the Thessalonians in particular were neglecting that importance. Let's give importance to our work. That's what God wants. We give importance to social development. That was important for Jesus. The classic verse. don't know much about the childhood of Jesus, but we do know that he kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and people. When I was a little boy, I thought that wisdom and stature meant wisdom and stature, size, and in favor with God and with people. Social development is important. We have a little camp, and partly because we want young Christians to learn how to get along with each other. An important part of it, at least we have teams. They learn to get along with each other and work with each other on that. It's important. Rest, recreation. What did God command for the Jewish people? That they rest on the seventh day. Rest is important. And as a part of that, recreation is important. I like what God gave us and some animals the desire to play. I like to look on YouTube. Horse plays soccer. Yeah. And they do like to play. They're enjoying it. And other animals, dogs love to play. Why do we have that instinct? It's a part of this need for rest and recreation that we have. Somebody might say, I thought you were going to talk about what most threatens sincere Christians in their spiritual life. And you've talked here about some important things. I just got through talking about what most threatens sincere people in their spiritual lives. Important things. Well, how can important things be what most threatens our spiritual lives? Here it is. The danger is allowing these important aspects of our lives get in the way of what is essential. That's it, isn't it? That's it. Why don't we reach the level of commitment that God deserves from us? We're so busy with important things. Not with sinful things. Not with evil things. We're important things, but we're just so wrapped up in them, we don't have time for God. And that's, of course, where we come to this classic story of Mary and Martha. You know the story, but we'll go through it again. Jesus is traveling along. He enters a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. And she had a sister called Mary, who was also seated at the Lord's feet and was listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations. She came up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do the serving by myself? Then tell her to help me." You know, at every meal, especially if it's a nice meal, you're fixing it for the visiting preacher or whatever, but there becomes a critical moment. And I guess I'm going to talk... I talk a lot about Dominicans. I eat a lot with them. But the rice is just right. And they have something called con con. And that's really good. That's the crunchy stuff around the rice. But if you do it too much, it gets burnt. Don't want it burnt. Just want it kind of crunchy. There's that. Then you've got the beans over here. They're just about ready to go. I think that rice is the most critical thing. And then you got the bread over here. And it's just a moment. And oh no, there can be some pretty stressful moments in the kitchen. And I imagine it was about at a time like that. And Martha's in there, and here's this, and here's that, and oh no. And I'm in here all about, where's that sister of mine? And she looks in there, and she's just sitting down, just listening. You can imagine maybe the blood coming up here. I'm going to teach her a lesson. I'm going to get Jesus to tell her to come here and help me. And I don't care if it embarrasses her. She needs to learn that she needs to just not leave me here in the kitchen all by myself. Well, that may have been the way she was thinking. But you know the rest of the story. But the Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. But only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." What's the problem here? Was Martha involved in what was evil? No. Was Martha involved in what was worthless? No. It's very important to prepare food. And it was very important. What was the problem? She was so worried about what was important, that she was neglecting what was essential, listening to Jesus. That's the biggest enemy that we face as sincere Christians. Being so worried about things that are important. School, studies, homework, social development, that job. Oh no. But what about what's essential? Sometimes we just forget about it. What are some essential tasks that we neglect because we're so wrapped up in what is important? Prayer. You know, we like to read the book of Acts for many things. And when I was a young man, it was to show those people in the denominations they're wrong, you got to be baptized. Boy, I knew all those verses in Acts about that. That can be important. But the personal dedication of those early Christians, I think the more I read Acts, the more that's what impresses me. Have you ever noticed how much prayer there is in the book of Acts? Sometimes I go down the list. All the places where it's mentioned that they prayed together. And there's so much more prayer implied. And then you think of Jesus praying all night long. You think of Revelations, the incense of the saints, that's prayer. Prayers in the Old Testament. Daniel's prayer. Ezra's prayer. Why don't we pray like that? We're just too busy with what's important. It's hard to take the time out. I want to tell you, I have to watch myself. Sometimes I'm so busy with the Lord's work that I don't have time for the Lord. That's a danger. That's a danger I've got to face. You all know the competition for our prayer time, our computer time, our phone time, our sports time, our recreation time. None of the things are sinful. They can be important in their place. But we just can't let it squeeze out our prayer time. If you don't have the habit of praying every day at a certain time, you better start it. And there's a lot of Christians who admit to me, I don't really have a good habit that way. You know, say it takes 2 weeks to establish a good habit. If you're talking about brushing your teeth, you've got to just kick yourself. Remind yourself for two. Brush your teeth. I don't know why I mentioned that as a habit. But anyway, if you don't have the habit of praying every day, you just get after yourself. And if you start doing that, in a couple of weeks, you're going to just not feel right if you don't. When you get up in the morning is a good time. I used to say going to bed at night is a good time. The only problem with that is sometimes it kind of cuts your sleepiness, cuts it short. I do a shorter one at night. Just get a habit of it. Don't let important things squeeze it out. Bible reading for ourselves. This is in the same category, isn't it? Why don't we just allow the Scriptures to soak in? We're just too busy. Too busy with sinful things? No, you know, not sinful, not worthless. We're just too busy with important things. Here's one. I'm going to hammer in a little bit. Reading the Bible with our children. Talked about all the kids here. Great blessing. But how often, and I have a feeling this does go on in many places, just 10 or 15 minutes a day, that's enough, at least to start. Maybe you can make it a little longer later. So, okay, kids. Off with all the stuff. We're going to go in here and we're going to read the Bible for 5 minutes or so. A simple lesson, a Bible story, especially for the little fellas. Start them off when they're real tiny. They won't know what's going on then, but the first memories they're going to have are of mommy and daddy sitting down to read the Bible with me. Then sing a song or two. Learn some verses. You know, somebody says, well, they're going to learn that in the Bible class. Well, I hope they learn some of that stuff in the Bible class. But it's the parents' responsibility to teach their children. Teach your kids the Bible. I remember one lady saying, I'm trying to start this habit because I did not emphasize the time. And my kids just get so tired. It's like they're not really into it, really into it. And I said, well, what, how long do you teach them? I try to teach them an hour every day. Well, I appreciate the desire on her part, but most kids can't hang in there for an hour a day. When they're older, maybe, on occasions. 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Start off that way. Short Bible study, prayer. Have them pray. You never know what they're going to say. They don't have all the restrictions in their minds that we have. I'll tell you this. My little girl, Rebecca, she's just praying one time. She was just really concerned about the devil. And she prays, Lord, the devil, may he repent so that he won't be lost eternally in hell. I said, I don't think the devil's going to do that. But I appreciated the sincerity of it. You'll hear some sincere things, but you've got to take the time to read, to teach your children to pray with them, and maybe sing a song or two. That's essential. That's essential. And you know the passage. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart, and you shall repeat them diligently to your sons, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk on the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. You shall also tie them as a sign to your hand, and they shall be as frontlets on your forehead. You shall also write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Teach them diligently to your children. That goes beyond just taking them to Bible class. I hope you do that. That's another habit. And if you get started on it, after about 3 or 4 days, if you start to forget, you know who's going to remind you? Your kids are going to remind you. Hey, aren't we going to read the Bible? Oh yes. I'm thankful for my wife, because there are a lot of times when I was wrapped up in things. She said, Gardner, time for Bible study. Oh yes. So if one of you is a little more inclined as a parent to do that. And kids, if you're here, I'm going to get the kids. They'll do it. If your folks don't have a Bible study in the home, you get after them. You don't usually get after your parents, but I give you permission to get after your parents to have a Bible study, as if my permission meant anything. Okay, why don't we do that? We're tired. I'm just so tired. I've worked so hard today. There's a brother in another state. I won't get specific. I don't want to get in trouble. But his kids told me, my dad comes in every day from work. He plops down on his easy chair. Give me that remote. Click, click, click. All the way till about 9:30. I'm worn out. Don't anybody bother me. I got to go to bed. The next day, the same thing. Coming from, I'm tired. Don't anybody bother me. Give me that remote. Click, click, click. You know, that's not teaching diligently our children. I know. We're all tired. Homework. I don't know why. The kids are going to love what I'm going to say now. If I were a teacher and I were unable to teach my kids in the 50 minutes a day they give me, I'm not going to burden them down with a bunch of homework. There may be a few exceptions. You need to learn to write essays and stuff like that. But I think that sometimes schools want to dominate our children, and we don't need to let them do it. If they have to miss some homework, let them miss it. Now, I know how kids are. They come in, and there goes the TV or the computer or whatever, and they watch it for a couple of hours, and it's time for Bible study. Oh, I can't study, but I've got homework. Don't let them get by with that. That's an old trick. If you're going to have to get the homework done when you come in. But most of the time, you can get it done, and you have plenty of time for Bible study. But that's an excuse. It's just an important habit to establish in the home. I've fussed about that. I hope it helps. Being with God's people. Now, I'm not talking about checklist Christianity. I think we've gotten into that in some places. Sunday morning. I've talked earlier this week. Sunday morning. Don't have to say Sunday night here anymore. Sunday morning, Sunday night, and all of that stuff. It goes beyond that. It goes to a desire to be with God's people as much as possible. But what prevents us sometimes from being with God's people as much as we ought to be? The same list. Our kids' education. They can't. Oh, got homework. Oh, homework. You know what I'd like to go for some kids to go to school? And I don't have my homework because I went to the meeting and I had Bible study. Wouldn't that be nice? Sorry, teacher, didn't get my homework. I had Bible study. But instead, we get it the other way around. No, can't go to Bible study. Can't go to meeting. I got too much homework. Let's reverse that. Let's don't give so much importance to what's important that we miss what's essential. Employment. This is a challenge for many recent immigrants to this country. Because, and I've worked with a lot of them, where's the first place recent immigrants can often get a job? Restaurants. What's the biggest day at a restaurant? Sunday. So here comes someone, they find a new job, we're going to make it in this country, I got a job at a restaurant. You got to work on Sunday. And it's a challenge for them. I don't know if this is the right advice, but I've given it to a few. I want you to take that job for 2 weeks. Be just the best worker they've ever seen in their lives. And then after 2 weeks, say, you know, I've got to have Sunday off to go to services. If you've been the best worker they can imagine, you might just get that Sunday off. Stick with it. Don't let them pressure you. I had a daughter who was working in a place that says, okay, you don't have to work Sunday, but here comes the pressure. You've got to work on Sunday. You've got to work on Sunday. Rooms to go. Tampa, Florida. Got to work on Sunday. I'm out of here. No. I'm out of here. I'm tired of it. Don't want the pressure. She got a better job. I'm not saying you'll always get a better job. But we've got to give the Lord. I'm not saying that having to miss occasionally. But if it's a habit, it's something you're going to miss a lot of Sundays, I think it's time to tell your boss you're going to have to find another job. But work's important. Being with God's people, partaking of the Lord's Supper is essential. So let's keep that in mind. This is a big challenge for a lot of the brethren I work with who are from the Caribbean. In the Caribbean, the big social event is the birthday party. You know, we gringos don't know how to celebrate birthdays. But when's the big day for the big birthday party? Sunday. We missed you last Sunday. It's my mom's birthday. She'd have gotten real upset if I went to services. I know it's a challenge. But when that big birthday party comes on a Sunday, it's time to give importance to what is essential. They'll be offended. Yeah, maybe they will be, but they'll get over it. And you might teach them an important lesson, that there's something that goes beyond birthday parties. Sometimes in this, children are willing to give the right priority. Children are willing to do the right thing. And the parents don't back them up. The children say, I don't want to go to the birthday party. I want to go to services. And the parents say, no, Aunt so-and-so will be offended. Don't do that. Your kid's conscience is sometimes better trained than yours. Listen to your children when they're telling you to do the right things. Serving others. Why don't we find more opportunity to serve others? To clean houses for elderly widows. To mow the grass for the elderly. To make more calls. That's a weakness I have. I just don't like the telephone. Something that's helped me is I don't mind so much sending a text. But let's find time to send those texts, to make those calls. Who wasn't here? How can we encourage them? Why don't we do better with that? I'm not going to go over the list again with you. You know we're too busy with our education, our work, and all of that stuff. Bottom line, why is our commitment to the Lord sometimes weak? Because we're too busy with important things. Look at your heart. Look at your time. Look at your priorities. Make a commitment now before your Heavenly Father. I will give you everything. Not that I'll miss out on these important things, but put them in their place. Put them in their place. Your level of commitment to God goes up. Necessarily, your commitment to that education, that high educational degree, may have to go down a little bit. I'm not saying give this up. But boy, don't you ever give priority to that school or that work over priority to God. May God help us. It's easy to preach this sermon, especially when everybody's listening so well. I don't see anybody sleeping. Maybe there's a few that are fighting it a little bit. but putting it in practice. I've got to put it in practice. May God help us all to put it to practice. Well, to close up, why do some people not obey the gospel? Why do some people just not give themselves over to the Lord? The answer is, oh, the work. Oh, the school. Oh, the entertainment. In eternity, how important will those things be? We talked earlier this week about Felix. We talked about Agrippa and others who had just kind of a sense of curiosity about God, but they weren't willing to make the sacrifices necessary because they were busy governing Judea. They were busy trying to maintain relationship with all these puppet kings in the area. How much is that important to them now? The only thing that was important to them was taking advantage of the gospel that they heard and they didn't. How important is your work, your education, in 100 years from now? Not saying it has zero importance. But the only thing that will be important, and we know that the soul survives the death of the body, the only thing that will be important will be whether you committed yourself completely to God or not. How to start? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's the way you start. If you believe in Christ, if you're willing to be baptized into Him, we can help. Or if we can help you in any way, please let us know. May God bless us all and help us all. Thank you.